As Brother Jerry said, Happy Mother's Day. You know, in that Proverbs chapter 31 talks about a virtuous woman. And this is from the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So his mother was describing what a virtuous woman was to the king. And what mother out there doesn't want her son to marry a virtuous woman? To know one is to be one. To really know one. What one is. Now, this is taken in a natural context, but it's also, I think, in a spiritual context. What is a mother? That there are, I guess, a lot of definitions of a mother, but mainly two. One of them could be a lady that, or a woman that just born has a child. And in a legal sense, she would be considered his mother or her mother. But a mother, in the best sense of the word, is a virtuous woman like this is talking about here. If you read this and really get into this, she's very industrious. She works, her candle doesn't go out by night, and she rises up while it's still dark to start preparing food. Just by the wayside, I want y'all to know that my mother, I was coming down through, I was in college playing football, and I was driving, the bus let me out in the little town where I was, and I was going to go back to Starkville. Anyway, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had another one of my friends that was going to ride with me to drop off the film at Mississippi State and let them develop the reel-to-reel film. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I went, I wanted my friend to meet my mama, so I took him over. And of course, she knew I was coming. You know, she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and made us breakfast. She probably forgot that, but I never did. A mother is a nurturer. She's the one that, first of all, in a natural way, carries a child. And then goes through the pain of childbearing. And from even before that child is born, she loves him. There are some bad mothers spoken about in the Scripture. David said in the Psalms, when my mother, he didn't say if, he said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There are many things that a mother does that are that's unappreciated, unnoticed. But I think most of all, the thing that the mother, the very basis of all of what is being a mother is love. Everything else that stems from that, that she does for her children, or she does for her husband, is out of love. Even the things that are necessary, she does out of love. And a child that's grown up and reared in a house where a virtuous woman lives will rise up and call her blessed. He might not understand all the care and all the things that go into being a mother and taking care of the children, but pretty soon, when they start to realize what all she's done for them, they'll rise up and say, hey. They'll rise up and call her blessed. I took that for granted. All these years, I never realized. And the mother does it, the virtuous woman does it, regardless of thanks or appreciation or being noticed. It certainly is nice to give appreciation and notice to mothers, virtuous women, a lot. But regardless of whether they get it or not, they still do it. If they didn't, they wouldn't be a virtuous woman. But I want us to think about nourishment and nourishing and raising up from a child. If the apostle, well, I'll get to that later. We think about a lot of the mothers in the Bible, and we think about the faith of Moses' mother, who trusted in the Lord and put him in an ark of bulrushes and just set him out in the river, praying to God that he would take her up, him up. And he did, and he blessed him. We think about a lot of the other, Rachel and Rebecca and all those mothers of the patriarchs. And we think about some very high profile mothers like Hannah in the scriptures, Elkanah's wife. You know who Hannah was? You know who her son was? Samuel. And you know, being a mother was considered one of the most high profile and honor, it was a great honor to a woman to be able to bear children. Because the children were considered a gift from God. And if a woman bore a child, she would be considered very honorable, honoring to God to have children. And Elkanah had two wives. One of them was Hannah, and one of them was a Zilpah, or whatever her name was. She wasn't a good person. Zilpah wasn't, or whatever her name was. And Hannah was barren. And she wanted that honor. She felt like she was a dishonor to God and her husband because she couldn't bear him any children. And finally she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her with a child. Now the other wife constantly went to her and was, for lack of a better term, was dogging her. Was telling her that she was no good, that God didn't bless her, and was really putting her down. Day in and day out. And Hannah prayed, the Bible says. She went to the temple, I believe, or synagogue, wherever it was she went, and she was praying on the steps, and old Eli came out and thought she was drunk because her lips were moving, but she didn't speak a word audibly, but God heard her prayer. And he blessed her with a son. And she kept him until he was weaned, and then she said, it says she lent him to the Lord. And he grew up in the temple, being a servant of Eli's, and the Lord had favor upon him, and also had favor upon her. Now, aren't these mothers nourished up their children? They were virtuous women. Do you know that whatever, however you are brought up and trained, that's what your mindset is? Have y'all ever heard of the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Y'all ever heard that? That just shows how important being a mother is. It goes to show that the lady that sings the lullabies, that instills the great virtues of life, that teaches her children how to be, that teaches them to not lie, and corrects them when they make a mistake, that guides them in the ways that they ought to go, that teaches them principles about life. Those children, if they're taught that from the very young age, they'll not depart from it, the Bible says. That means it'll always be in there. It might always come out. Might not always come out, but it's in there. And so, it's a great honor to be a mother. Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. What better way to honor God than to have a bunch of them? Or to at least have the ones that you have be honorable to God. Somebody else had a mother. The Lord had a mother. Her name was Mary. We all know the story about how the angel came and told her that she would be overshadowed with the Holy Ghost. And we all know about Mary's song when she said, "The Lord hath holpen," or helped, "his handmaiden." She said, "My soul will magnify the Lord." And Mary truly was blessed. The angel told her, "Thou art blessed above women." Why? Because she was carrying the Lord of glory. She was carrying in her womb God manifest in the flesh. And he was born, and she brought him up and nurtured him and gave him... I'm sure she taught him, but you know, that this is a mystery to me, that he knew all things, but yet he learned some things. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He experienced things in the flesh that he had never experienced in glory. He experienced what it was like to have a mother. He experienced what it was like to grow up as a human, but yet all God. Can you imagine what it was like being the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Then we find when he was about 12 years old, they go to Jerusalem. And there was a great throng of people. And then when they left with the throng of people. And they walked 3 days. or a day. I don't might not have my time exactly right. Y'all, I'm paraphrasing. Y'all get that. I'm telling the story. Trying to. And they looked for their child and they couldn't find Jesus. Y'all ever been in Walmart or out in a crowd somewhere and not turned around and your kids are not there? An immediate feeling of dread and surprise and fear comes over you. And they searched diligently among the throng of people, but they couldn't find him. And they said, well, we must have left him. And they went back to Jerusalem and they found him. You know where they found him? They found him in talking in the temple, talking with the doctors of the law. Not a medical doctor, but a lawyers and scribes. And he, as a 12-year-old boy, was discussing things that they had studied all their lives, and they were amazed at his answers, being 12. And his mama, and daddy, and stepfather anyway, they got on to him. They said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be with us. How come you stayed back? You know what the Lord told them? He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? At 12. Now, if I'd have told my mama that at 12, I'd have got a whooping. Daddy would have whooped me if I'd have told her that at 12. But the Lord didn't, he wasn't afraid. Basically what the Lord was telling his mama was, I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got more important things to do than that. And that's all we hear about the middle years of Jesus until he turns 30. Around 30. And then we find another time there where, you know, Mary pondered a lot of things in her heart. It says several times in the scriptures that how things that he did. She pondered it when the angel told her that you're going to be with child from the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And after that whole discourse with the angel, said she pondered those things in her heart. And after this occasion where he was at Jerusalem and said, I must be about my Father's business. She pondered those things in her heart. Can you imagine? I bet Mary pondered a lot of things that Jesus did. I bet she thought about them and every time she pondered them, I know it went back to the very beginning when the angel told her, the Son of the Highest is inside of you. And so then we find the, at least in John, we find the next account, really one of the first accounts of the Lord before he entered into his public ministry was that there was a marriage at Cana. And it says his brethren and the mother of Jesus was there. And y'all know the story. There was a great wedding feast at this marriage at Cana, and they had drunk all the wine. And it wasn't a situation like we have now where if somebody didn't get enough cases of wine, they could just go down to the liquor store or wherever, Walmart now, and buy wine. It wasn't like that. They didn't have a wine store. The governor of the feast was to supply it all, and he had miscalculated and didn't have enough. And Jesus' mother came to the Lord and said, they have no wine. Don't you think that's a strange question? or a strange statement to tell the Lord? I mean, they were just at the wedding. Why did his mother even go up to him and say, they have no wine? She must have known something that nobody else knew about the Lord. It's not like we can just go out and stomp the grapes and ferment them and all that and then wait on it to ferment and then have it. No, we need some right now. His mother knew something about her child that no one else knew. Y'all mothers can attest to that. You know your children, don't you? You know them better than anybody else in the world. And Mary knew hers. She said, they have no wine. And Jesus said, woman, what's that to me? Or what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then she looked at all the servants standing around and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So I think Jesus began to, and that woman wasn't a term of disgust or disgrace. It really was a term of endearment. Like I wouldn't call my mother woman, but it was a different word than that. It was almost like mama. But we see here he begins to separate himself away from his mother a little. And it says there were set there 6 water pots. About, I don't know how many firkins apiece. It was about 28 gallons apiece. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews. And the Lord turns the water into wine. He says, you bear out now and you give it to the governor. It was water, and when they give it to the governor, it was wine. This is the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. And I'm sure Mary pondered those things in her heart too. I'm sure Mary looked at all of that and was concerned and said, okay, all these things that I've thought about my son, all the things that were prophesied to me, they're coming to pass. They're beginning to come to pass. He's going to enter on his ministry now. And so the Lord begins to do that. He begins his healings. He begins his miracles. He begins to teach about things concerning the kingdom of God at that time. And there was a situation in Mark. Mark chapter 3. You know that the Lord didn't do things the way that the Pharisees thought he ought to do them, right? The religious, he did things that was not conventional concerning their traditions as far as religion. Y'all know that, right? As a mother, that might concern you. That your son's not doing things just exactly the way that they ought to be done. Or that they're typically done. And so the Lord even heals people on the Sabbath day. He goes through the fields and plucks ears of corn on the Sabbath day, which is not traditional. It's not the way that the Pharisees do it. He heals blind men. And it's good, but it's not their way. Chapter 3. He ordains the 12 apostles. This is in verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. That means that they were concerned about his health. They thought he was going a little crazy in the ways that he was talking and doing. They said, he's beside himself. And so they were going to go in and kind of make sure he was okay, give him some, make sure he was getting enough rest or whatever. I'm taking this with a little bit of liberty, trying to put myself in a situation that the Lord is healing these people and he's doing things that are not consistent with the religious typical way to do things. And they knew that these scribes and Pharisees didn't like it. They were almost making an excuse for him. I can see that. They said he's beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub. And by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? So do y'all get the picture that he's inside of a house and there's a lot of people and people saying he's beside himself. He's talking crazy. He's not thinking right. He's casting these devils out and they're wondering, how can it be? And then the religious people come and they say, he casts out devils by Beelzebub, which is the prince of devils. They're saying he's casting out Satan by Satan. He's satanic. They call Jesus satanic. And he goes on and says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And he goes on and tells them, if Satan rises up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins, get this, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And he told them that because they said he hath an unclean spirit. You know what they did? They were blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And the Lord told them that because they had said that. Now, I want you to get the picture. He's been healing. A lot of people are following him. He's not doing things the conventional way. They go into a house, and his friends are a little concerned. Maybe he's just tipping the cup a little bit. Maybe he's going off the deep end. Maybe he needs to cool it down just a little bit. He's riling some folks up. Then come in the Pharisees and they say, this man's Satan. And then he says, Satan can't cast out Satan because he'd be divided against himself. There came then his brethren and his mother. And standing without, sent unto him, calling him. I bet they were calling him for the same reason, don't you think? How many times have you mothers seen your children maybe go a little bit off the deep end and you try to rein them in a little bit and say, hold on now. You're going a little too far. I believe this is what Mary was doing. Not so much that she was concerned that he was going a little bit too far, but that he was just being maybe a little bit too abrasive with the Pharisees. They were abrasive with Christ. And the multitude sat around about him. They said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. They were outside of this house where there were so many people they couldn't even eat themselves. And they were grieved at them. Their friends were grieved because it was packed in there so tight that they couldn't eat. And his mother and the brethren were without, and they would desire to see him. What did Jesus answer them? He said, Who is my mother or my brethren? Who is my mother? Did he know who his mama was? He did. But Jesus is talking on a higher plane than a natural mother. Who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Are you related to the Lord? Are you related to Him? Are you a sister to Him? Are you a brother to Him? Are you a mother to Him? How do you do that? How can you be that? How can you be the Lord's mother and brethren? He told us, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Do you want people to rise up and call you blessed? Then do the will of the Father and be a mother. You want people to rise up and call you blessed? Do the will of the Father and be his sister. You want people to rise up and call you blessed? Do the will of the Father. Be his brother. You want to be a friend of Christ? You want him to be your friend? Do the will of the Father. Be his friend. You know, Paul in Galatians, you see, because he's not talking about a natural mother. He's not talking about natural brethren. He's talking about being consistent and having the same purpose in manner of life that he did. He said, I do always those things that please my Father. When we do the things that please the Father, we have a brother. His name is Christ. I mean, in an experiential way. We can feel close fellowship, right? Have y'all ever had anybody in your family that was kind of alienated, that you didn't do much with, or you didn't like, you didn't have much in common with? It's because y'all don't have the same mindset or don't have the same thinking, don't have the same attitudes and opinions, right? And so you're alienated and you really, I'm going to be blunt, you really don't care whether you are around them much because they're so different. That's what the Lord's talking about. He said, you want close communion with me? You want fellowship with me? You want to be a fellow in the ship? Get it? That's where it comes from. Fellowship. You want to be a fellow in the ship? Be in the ship. You want to be a brother of mine? Do the will of the Father. That's the only thing that we could have in common with the Lord. For fellowship. I mean, He made us free. He made us new creatures. He put His Spirit into us. So yes, we have the ability to be a fellow, to have fellowship with the Lord. You want to be His brother? Do the will of the Father. You know, Paul says in Galatians 1 and 15 or 1 and 14. This is verse 11, let's start. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What is Paul saying there? He's saying there came a time in my life when God separated me from my mother's womb. And he wasn't talking about his natural birth. He was talking about the traditions of his fathers and the Jews' religion. He's talking about the thing that nourished him up for all those years. But when God called him by His grace, he had a new mother. And he had a new revelation, and that revelation was of Jesus Christ. And after that revelation and being born again, he had the ability to have fellowship with the saints of God and Jesus Christ. And Paul used his gifts to preach unto the heathen the unsearchable riches of Christ. He talks about another mother over here. He said in verse chapter 4, he said, Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. That's a whole nother series of sermons probably in that. I've only got one mother. Sitting right there. I love you, Mom, but I don't love you as much as I love Christ. The Lord said, no man hath left father or mother, or houses or land, but that he wouldn't receive a hundredfold in this life father, mothers, houses, and lands. Who is my mother and my brethren? All y'all are. Who's the mother and brethren of Christ? When we do the will of God, we are. I pray to God that you would be a mother to Christ. Be a brother to Christ. Be a sister to Christ. by doing the will of the Father. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. You may come as the Lord commanded you, as we sing.